Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Well, as per the norm, a lot to get to inside the playbook as we open up another week. Patriots 5-1, going in now to week 8 of the NFL season overall. Week 7 for the New England Patriots, following the 23-20 whew, over the San Diego Chargers on the road this past Sunday at Qualcomm. As you know, we normally do on Tuesdays, Nitpick Tuesday is upon us. So go ahead and start getting your nitpicks together. I've got, you know, two or three, at least in particular, that I'm going to share with you here coming up on the program. But if you saw some things that, you know, obviously could be improved upon, should be improved upon, need to be addressed by this team, by this coaching staff, by this franchise, well, now's the time because this is what we do normally on Tuesdays. We just break it down. We tear it down. We rip it apart. And then we ultimately decide what would make it better. And then we start pointing our attention to next week. Now, we will begin that process today. In addition to, you know, basically tearing apart, we're also going to look forward to Halloween Sunday and the 4:15 game time against the Minnesota Vikings. Paul Allen, who is their longtime play-by-play voice of the Vikings, is going to join us here in approximately 5 to 10 minutes. And we're going to get his thoughts on, well, basically everything that's gone on, not only with the Vikings this point in time, because you have to feel like Minnesota and Dallas may very well be the two most disappointing teams in the entire NFL, especially when you consider where the Vikings were last year, that they could have just as easily been in the Super Bowl as opposed to New Orleans. When you consider what they had coming back this year, kind of like the Dallas Cowboys in that regard, a lot of talent coming back. I think we're seeing finally, maybe once and for all, and we'll get Paul's take on this, but maybe once and for all, the end of the beginning of the end for Brett Favre. And we don't know for certain whether or not he'll play on Sunday because he's got the ankle and foot fractures, and you know, the fact that he would even consider playing is beyond me. But that at the same time, you have to consider who it is that we're talking about. It is Brett Favre. It is 291 consecutive weeks that he's played. I mean, that is
Cal Ripken of football.
Yes, he definitely is. I heard that yesterday on the radio, and I was about to say, you know, that is apropos.
By the way, it's good to be back with you, John.
Kevin,
I was shipped off last week.
I know you were. You had soccer duty last week, did you not?
Yep.
Did we have fun?
I was towel boy, yep.
You were towel boy?
It's great. I you know, refilled the Gatorade coolers and everything.
Nice. Nice. Well, you know, that's, you know, part of the initiation, the hazing initiation that we go through.
As Fred spoke to a little bit earlier in PFW, this is definitely one of those games, you know, with the Moss factor added into it,
yeah,
where even though we just came off the San Diego game and it was the late game on Sunday, but it just seems like everybody's looking forward to this game because it's just such a big matchup.
Well, it is for a couple of reasons. Number one, we've been targeting this game really since the first part of the season. We knew, number one, it was going to be special because it would be Halloween.
Yep.
It's a later kickoff, so, you know, if you've got little kids at home and trick-or-treating, you're going to have to do your trick-or-treating here. Hopefully, Patriots fans get the treat and not the trick.
And it's probably the last chance for folks around here to get to see Brett Favre if indeed he does.
There's no doubt about that. And that was something that I was talking about earlier today with a friend of mine that, and mentioned actually yesterday as well, that, you know, hey, it may be what it is, and everybody was going, oh, hey, Favre isn't going to play. He hurt his ankle. Did you hear that? And I'm like, I'm disappointed. I wanted to see the guy play because I mean, really believe that this is finally it for Brett Favre.
And they're not ruling him out by any stretch. It's,
no.
It just seems it's definitely more doubtful than it was a week ago.
Well, here's the thing. Brad Childress will have to ultimately make the decision here, as we all know. And obviously, I think the way Childress has been in the media over the course of the last 48 hours or so since they lost their game to Green Bay, that you could kind of tell he was throwing some people, Favre included, under the bus.
Yep.
And I think, you know, he's trying to sort of reassume command of his football team and not so much let Brett Favre have command and his way and his say and everything else that Brett Favre seems to have had during his tenure in Minnesota, or really since he left Green Bay. It was that way in New York as well, as we're also finding out. And let's just ask Jen Sturger about that one.
Yep.
So, I'm from a pure football sense, yes, I'm disappointed if he does not play. But let me tell you this. I'll be still shocked if he doesn't play.
I'm with you.
I think that they'll, they'll shoot him up.
I mean, this game, a lot of people.
First of all, the Vikings are 2-4.
This is their season.
What are they, 2-5?
No, they're 2-4.
They're 2-4.
Yeah.
Okay, they haven't had their bye yet. All right, so they're 2-4. Yes, they have had their bye. So they're 2-4. Why did I think they were 2-5?
Maybe because they're going to be 2-5 after Sunday? Is that
maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Can you double-check that for me? Just to be safe. Fact is that this is, you're absolutely right, it is their season. They have to win. Now, the Patriots already proved that they can, you know, certainly do enough to win playing against a team that has their proverbial back to the wall, because that's what happened this past Sunday at San Diego.
2-4.
Thank you. Okay, so they've had their bye week. So they've got nothing left here. They have to win. Otherwise, you know, I mean, I realize that Green Bay is only, what, a game ahead of them?
Yeah.
Chicago's, what, two games ahead?
Yeah, the whole NFC is just a mess.
Yeah, so I don't think that they're out of it. Even
no,
if they should lose. Even if they should lose, I don't think the Vikings are out of it. But I guess it really depends on how they lose. I mean, if they get beat bad, if Favre gets beat to the point where he doesn't come back and play, or he can't come back and play anymore, then you could say that the Vikings' chances are slim and none, and slim just left town. Now, I'm watching Brad Childress up on the screen now, one of our monitors in here in the studio, and I got to tell you, you know, sure, he's going to try to do what's best for the team, but Favre will be out there if he deems that even a Favre on half a foot is going to be his team's best chance to win. Now, the Patriots are going to prepare for Favre. They'll have to throw in some work, you know, for Tavares Jackson as well. There's no doubt about it. He is still the backup, right?
They have Sage Rosenfeld.
Yeah, they have too. Sage Rosenfeld's backing up, too.
That's an interesting point that you brought up, though, now, John, because I was thinking in the back of my head last night when I was thinking about this Vikings game. I mean, obviously Favre has been a great quarterback over his years in the league, but I wonder, would it help or hurt the Patriots to have him play hurt this Sunday? Because one of the points somebody made to me was, well, if they bring in a Rosenfeld or a Jackson and they play a more conserved game and pound Adrian Peterson, and you have a quarterback who's going to manage the game, not fling it all over the place.
Well,
like Favre.
I, you know, you can do that with Favre too.
You because can, he's but you, he won't.
No, because he'll probably, his ego will get the better of him.
He's good for two picks a game now. It's ridiculous.
So his ego will get the better of him. He'll try to force one. You know that he's going to want to go over the top to Moss. So Moss will get, you know, into the game and try to put one back on the Patriots. So, you know, you've got that bit of intrigue coming. That's going to come. And, you know, one of my nitpicks of the day still has to do with the fact that, you know, the Patriots corners, while we certainly have seen improvement from Devin McCourty, we've seen adequate play from Kyle Arrington. Arrington, in particular, and actually both Patriots corners that are in there, still play too soft. I'll go ahead and start it off here. That's nitpick number one. Still way too soft. They're still allowing the underneath routes. Now, again, I'm not privy to the game plan every week. It may very well be that this team is telling, you know, Belichick and anybody that has anything to do with calling the defensive plays here, maybe saying, all right, this is what we're going to do. We don't want you to get beat over the top. We don't want to get beat on the big play, so we're going to give them, you know, the 7 to 12-yard route. You're going to play soft, give them the underneath route, and play back off your receiver. If that is what they're saying, okay, then this nitpick is really moot. But until we find out one way or the other, or until we get an indication one way or the other that that is not how these guys have been instructed to play, it's still a nitpick. They're way too soft. They're still allowing way too much medium range yardage. And as we saw, it damn near cost them the game on Sunday. Because Phillip Rivers, you know, nickeled and dimed the Patriots to death. You know, to the tune of what? 330 plus. And if it hadn't been for those four first-half turnovers, Patriots would have gotten pounded. Yeah, I know. If ifs and buts and candy or nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. I understand that. It didn't happen. But how many times can you keep going to the well? How many times can you keep taking chances? And we've seen that the general philosophy, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and I know many of you who watch these games will correct me because you do, and actually that's okay. It doesn't bother me. I'm a big boy. I can take it, and we can go back and forth on football strategy. But here's the thing. All season long, these guys, except for the first week when we saw Darius Butler get completely burnt like yesterday's toast, that we've seen these guys play soft on the corners. And they're still playing soft. Have not seen it. The only reason that McCourty's been able to come up with a couple of picks is because, athletically speaking, he's a better player. He looks like now he's a first-round player. He looks like a top draft pick based on the athleticism. He's got the ability to still play soft if that's what they're asking him to do. He's got that ability to back off and then with his athleticism make up for it. He's got enough speed, he's got enough quickness, he's got enough footwork involved here because, after all, he should. If they've done their homework, he's a top draft pick for at least one or two reasons. That's why they took him when they did, because they knew he had the ability to cover. They knew he had the ability to make up for mistakes. And we're beginning to see that now come out of Devin McCourty. Kyle Arrington's a hard hitter. Kyle Arrington's a good, solid player. He's unspectacular, but he's solid. He might get beat once or twice, but he's not going to get beat as regularly as we saw Butler get beat the first couple of weeks of the season. And that's clearly why Kyle Arrington's still in there. But he's too soft. They need now that he's got this down, now that he's got it reasonably assured that he's going to be in there, I think they need to let Kyle Arrington try to use some of his athleticism. Let's see if he can cover some of these guys. I don't know if that happens this week or not. Because obviously, Randy Moss is going to get one or the other of them. And there's going to be some safety help. But you can't afford, you really are not going to be able to afford, let's put it this way. It's a double-edged sword, because if you do that, then you don't have any help for a guy like Percy Harvin, who to me is going to be a much more dangerous person almost than Randy Moss this Sunday. Harvin's speed scares me. Moss doesn't have that. He might have it one time. He doesn't have that kind of out-and-out breakneck speed now. So if that's the case, you're going to be sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't, picking your poison. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Patriots go a lot of nickel. If they go nickel, then here's what the Vikings should do. Vikings should run AD left, AD right, AD up the middle. That's Adrian Peterson. AD stands for all day. That's his nickname. So, you know, I don't like the matchup. Here we go. I'm going to start with my, Eric, oh, woe is us. theorems here this week. Doesn't mean I don't think the Patriots can win the game. But the matchup, I don't think, is a good matchup. This does not benefit the Patriots. The Vikings offense against the Patriots defense does not match up well in my estimation. Now, these are things that we'll be, kind of uncovering and deciphering throughout the course of the week. But at least right now, as we look at it, if you consider Favre is in there, and obviously you got Moss, and you got Peterson, you got Harvin, you got Shanko, who I think is certainly a wonderfully talented tight end, got great athleticism. There are some weapons there. And I know the Patriots offense is particularly concerned with the Vikings defense being, talented, athletic. So why are the Vikings 2-4? And I guess we can probably go back to some of the same reasons and some of the same things that we were talking about last week as to why are the Chargers 2-4? Why are they floundering in a division that, 8-8 could end up winning? And yet we saw it's because the Chargers find a way to shoot themselves in the foot. The Vikings are also right now finding a way to shoot themselves in the foot. I mean, as Kevin just said, hey, Favre right now is good for two picks a game. And I think perhaps the Patriots have to depend on that happening again. Now, if Jackson comes in and plays quarterback, well, you don't know what you're going to get. You only have previous game film that he has played in to study, and my guess is the Patriots will find a way to look at some of that over the course of the week. We don't know in particular where that will come in the overall scheme of things, but here are a couple of things you have to realize. There are options here. The Vikings have the options. Vikings have one of the most talented running backs in the entire NFL. Patriots do have some weakness. They have been able to play against the run decently. They've been able to play against the pass decently over the last couple of weeks. But we don't know where the improvement's going to come. And I've just been told that Paul Allen has been called into a meeting. And so he is going to join us tomorrow at 2:30. Is that correct, Kev? All right, so apologize for that, folks.
Yeah, the only time he could have done it would have been out of our time slot here later on in the day.
Gotcha.
So I figured I'd just book him for tomorrow.
That's fine. No worries. So Paul Allen's in a meeting. Important people have important things to do. And the voice of the Vikings will be with us in tomorrow's program at approximately 2:30 Eastern time. So if you want to make an appointment setting and an appointment listening, then 2:30 tomorrow. We'll have him on tomorrow. I believe we also are working on one of our AFC East bloggers for tomorrow as well. Correct?
Yep, Andy Kent.
Andy Kent, okay.
For probably the second half of the show. Probably.
Excellent. From AO Hill Fan House. He does a good job.
He does the AFC East.
Yep, does the AFC East, and we've had him on the program already this year, and he's done a super job in covering the division. So we should have Paul Allen and Andy Kent on tomorrow.
And Paul will be at 2:30, and Andy will most likely be at 3:30 for
Perfect.
Those of you looking to tune in.
Perfect. All right, so that'll plan in tomorrow. So right now the floor is yours. Webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Facebook page is open as well. If you haven't done so, you can friend me, John Rook, and then we will get you going. We'll get you going. Here's something. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sage Rosenfels is on the Giants. He's not on the Vikings anymore. He was on the Vikings. He's
My
on
bad.
The Giants. Yeah, thank you, Kevin. I thought I remember seeing him on the sideline on Sunday. Oh, well, okay.
Me too.
I thought that, too.
We watch too much football.
Part of the problem is that right now I'm kind of caught between sports. I'm watching 16 college games a week. I watch the Patriots, and then I try to watch at least one other complete game, and then you try to catch as many of the highlights as you can on Sundays. And the reason that I'm only watching one and sometimes two complete games on Sundays is because I'm trying to do my homework for all the college games that I've got to do the next week. Not an excuse, it's just an explanation. So sometimes it's very difficult to keep up with all the personnel moves, and frankly, I expect, fantasy geeks to help me with that stuff, because quite frankly, that's what you do that for. You are usually up on the personnel issues a heck of a lot more than I am. So that part I like. So keep those cards and letters coming, as the saying goes. I do have some superlatives that we'll pass along from this week as well, some of the notes from the Chargers game. But my biggest nitpick it's one of my nitpicks. I got two others that I'll share with you as the program progresses here. But certainly the softness of the corners for the Patriots, you know, is somewhat disconcerting. So while I've shared the nitpick, let me give you something good to balance that out with. Because we're equal opportunity here. We don't like to be all negative all the time. We're equal opportunity. Patriots obviously now have started the season with at least 5 wins in their first 6 games for the 4th time now under Bill Belichick. Best records through 6 games, 6-0 in 04, 6-0 in 07. But they now have, it's been the 4th time that they have started 5-1 under Coach Belichick. Patriots are 28-5 overall in the month of October since the 2003 season. That's extraordinary. And overall now, the Patriots have won 19 of their last 21 games in October, with one more still to go on Halloween. That's still a pretty remarkable record. Speaks to their overall dominance, you know, in the decade. Speaks to, the talent that they've had in here, the veteran leadership, the coaching abilities. You know, and yet we've seen so many of these, you know, coaches come and go. We're beginning to see a lot more of these players come and go now as this team tries to get itself younger. And yet they've still managed to maintain, even though we've had our fair share of, oh, woe is us, you know, moments here, even this season. They've managed to maintain the attitude, if not the overall record, at a pretty high level based on what they did during the decade of the 2000s. And really, I certainly understand that's why we have higher expectations. because of the track record that's set. Well, let me assure you that nobody has higher expectations of this team than the guys in the hallway, down the hallway, or the coaching staff down the hallway, or Bill Belichick himself. High expectations is what that's what fuels the motor here at Gillette and in the Patriots organization. That's why it does hurt when, you know, that's why we do nitpicks on Nitpick Tuesday. I mean, you know, hey, they won the game. Move on, right? Really, that was kind of my attitude. And then you realize that, you know, so many people that take the time to listen to this program on a Tuesday and want to get more Patriots information and want to get more opinion on the Patriots, especially if you live outside of the area where you can't listen to sports talk radio around here all that often or all that readily, then, you know, you're looking for what it is that we're trying to provide here. And I understand. People here second guess. People second guess. People always second guess. That's what we do here. We do it in New England perhaps as well as any fan base anywhere. I have to admit, you know, coming from the state of Texas as I did well over 20 years ago, I worked in the San Antonio area. I'm from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I went to school in Austin. You know, they're all sort of unique, but they all sort of follow the Cowboys. And then back when I was in school, it was the Oilers, and now it's the Texans. And, you know, and so the allegiances are split. Here in New England, you know, you follow the Patriots, you follow the Red Sox, you follow the Celtics, you follow the Bruins. You probably have a favorite college team, but it's not near as important as your pro team. And, you know, it is as rabid for the professional teams here as anywhere on the planet. Maybe save for, you know, Man U or Liverpool. And, of course, now we might even have a share of Liverpool since the Red Sox ownership now owns it. So, and maybe our UK Pats fans can help shed a little light on that one or, you know, second that one way or the other. By the way, I know a big group's coming in this week, so that's exciting for them. Be good to meet some of those folks. Stripper sends a note on Facebook. He says, thank you very much, John, for referring to Adrian as AD, not AP. I do run Adrian -peterson.com, the best AD site on the net. All right, well, we'll check it out. There you go. Yes, I've known that since, you know, he was at OU where, you know, his nickname was AD for all day. Didn't his, you know, strippers, I'm sure you'll tell me, but didn't his father, who I know has had jail time and stuff like that in his past, didn't his father nickname him all day? I just thought I'd remember that back from his days as a Ute, you know, running the football. Not entirely certain. I thought that was maybe him. Can't really remember one way or the other. Ah, he says, I believe so. Okay, good. Yeah, he played all day outside. Yeah, there you go. Because he played outside. Not necessarily football. He was just outside all day. So they called him AD all day. That's good. I like that. See? Tells you something that maybe you didn't know. And you're going to see one of the best running backs, if you haven't already seen him, and you probably already know this. He's, to me, I think he's the best all-around back of the NFL. Why? He has had trouble holding onto the football is one of the big mysteries. You know, and I'm sure that he would probably agree with you. I know he's gone through a lot of special drills and paid a lot of attention and carried a football around everywhere like you see, you know, guys do, especially in college and in the prep ranks. And, you know, I know he's had a problem holding onto the football this year. Or not this year, in the past. Says, Stripper says he's zero fumbles this year, zero after leading the league. Yep. Well, see, maybe he's working on it then. Why they don't go to him more? Why they don't go to him more is beyond me. I mean, frankly, I'm thinking, you know, it's got to be Peterson left, Peterson right, Peterson up the middle, Peterson around the end. Throw to Peterson out of the backfield. I'd almost dink and dunk the Patriots to death because they play so soft. Let Peterson attack that soft underbelly, and then you whack him. You whack him with,
back
you know.
To what I was getting at with what if Favre doesn't play and they're forced to do that.
Well, again, I can almost guarantee you that if Favre does not play, that will be part of the game plan that they have.
That's why I wonder.
They'll rely on the people that have the skills they do to win the game.
That's why I wonder if it wouldn't be better for the Patriots to
see Favre?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be. If you really want to look at it somewhat, you know, schemishly, yeah, it probably would be better for the Patriots if Favre played. And from a purely selfish reason, I want to see him play too.
Because the way that they play, they just kind of frustrate the opposing quarterback into taking his shot. And
yeah,
then when he takes it, they're there to make the play.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. He's, a guy like Peterson's tremendous talent. And when you have that ability with the ability to, find Harvin and now Moss, I'm just as surprised as anybody else this team is 2-4. You know, and it's probably because they do, commit too many self-inflicted wounds.
And it's bad coaching, too.
Well, I know there are those that don't believe that,
There's some decisions that Childress made the other night. I was just baffled. And Randy Moss himself was baffled by it. Did you see him walking off the field before halftime? He was basically incredulous, yelling at the sideline in the direction of Childress, wondering why they weren't running plays. They had like 40 seconds, the ball outside the 30-yard line.
Timeouts. Okay, that's right.
And they just let the clock run down.
And they were talking about that at halftime, too.
One of the best deep threats of the game.
Yeah.
And here we are just kind of pussyfooting around down here.
Well, wonder if Billy O'Brien knows about that kind of a question coming from Randy Moss.
I would think he could relate to that situation.
Yeah, it might have helped get Randy a ticket out of town here a few weeks ago. Well, anyway, it's all on the table this week. So we need your nitpicks from this past week. We'll start talking about the Vikings, as we mentioned. In fact, we're going to hear from Brad Childress and his press conferences in Minnesota yesterday and today in just a little bit. We're going to let you hear some of the excerpts from his press conference so we can kind of whet your appetite. And by the way, in addition to your nitpicks today, here's something, okay? You know, I know it's Halloween. But I'm just dying to know, because I'm old school and I know what my favorite is. And I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure we would have time for this as we get a little bit closer to Halloween. So today is, I think, a good day to do this, especially since I wasn't sure what the guest list was going to be like. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
I like it.
Okay? I mean, honestly, I've asked this on talk shows before, and I've gotten great suggestions. I do not believe I have ever had anyone send me an email or a Facebook text or anything my favorite Halloween candy, ever. I don't think anybody has ever brought it up. I have a favorite Halloween candy.
Maybe somebody will send you some.
Maybe somebody will say, well, that would be really nice.
That would be awesome.
That would be extraordinarily nice. But if you have a favorite Halloween candy, I want to know what it is.
Now, John, are you going to have trick-or-treaters come up to the booth on Sunday?
That'd be great. I'd love to be able to throw candy out the window.
He's just throwing candy out the announce
booth? Candy out the window. I might do that.
Dvorkin's yelling at you to do a read, and
I'm throwing candy out the window. I think that'd be a great idea. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe after the Patriots score, I'll throw out, peanut butter cup or something.
Yeah,
instead of
throwing up the snow, you'll just be
throwing candy
all over the place.
I think it'd be a great idea. I know we'll have people wearing costumes left and right.
Speaking of that, I know I'm excited to see what the cheerleaders will be sporting on Sunday.
Okay, settle down. Whoa. Back off. I don't even want to think about it right now. But I'm sure it'll be exciting. Mary Beth sends this via Facebook. She says, what an ugly game that was on Sunday, but a win is a win, and I'll take it. I can't wait to see this week's game and hope Favre plays. I was looking forward to those turnovers. Ha ha. And she says, my favorite Halloween candy is Almond Joy. Okay. That's a good selection. But let me tell you why I like Mounds better. Mounds is the same thing as an Almond Joy, just doesn't have the almond in the middle. To me, I like, this is stupid, but I'm going to go into it anyway because I started it today. To me, nuts are better plain, set aside. I'd rather eat a handful of almonds or cashews or even salted peanuts, especially the spicy ones, really good, than have those nuts inside the piece of candy. I don't like the nuts and the candy together. I like the nuts separate from the candy. Just a personal preference, which is why then, Mary Beth, I understand why you like Almond Joy. It's a delicious candy bar, but I prefer Mounds over Almond Joy because it doesn't have the nut. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Yes, that was just echoed right in my ear.
And I didn't hear that either. So, that's good. I've come up with that one. That was been, that's got to be one of the oldest commercials I ever remember.
So I'm in the studio here with two nuts, basically.
Yes, you are. Yes, that's very true. Honestly, I think I remember that Mounds and Almond Joy commercial probably since the time I was like 5 years old for a long, long, long time.
I was going to say, I was probably about five when I remember hearing the same commercial. If the jingle sticks, you keep it.
It does. And they've had that jingle probably for 50 years. as long as they've been in business, right? I would think. And it's worked pretty well. All right, so I need your suggestion, need your nitpicks from Sunday's game and the win over the San Diego Chargers. And we are going to get to quite a few of those here. We've got a couple of more that I'm going to share with you personally, as well as some notes and superlatives from the game as well. Got a couple of notes as well that you might find interesting from other games around the NFL on Sunday, and I guess including last night as well, that I will share with you. But got to have your nitpicks from Sunday. What really stood out? I mean, come on. What stood out to you? We've got plenty that we can be nitpicking about here on Sunday. Tons of things that we can get to. There's some clock management issues, the fourth and one. I mean, there's a lot of different things that we can get after. I want to know what's on your plate, what's on your table. What do you think needs to be addressed now, immediately going forward, as we start this week against Minnesota? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, or Facebook us. We'll come back and start doing some of that. After this, here inside the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network. All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fire service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Brett is in an ankle boot this morning, had an MRI, and
see if I say this right, has an avulsion fracture in his calcaneus. I don't know how you spell that. And also a stress fracture, neither of which is surgical. But once he's functional, he can play. And as you know, he's had ankle and heel problems. And I wouldn't rule anything out in terms of the end of the week. He's got great pain threshold and also you know, great competitive zeal. We got to do what's right for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, that's what I get charged with at the end of the day. I'm not worried about somebody getting one more start or one more yard.
All right, so that's Brad Childress talking about, you know, our good friend Brett Favre. You know, I'll sort of echo what he had to say. You know, he's going to do what's best, has to do what's best for the franchise. But if he can determine over the course of the next day or so, and really they could wait until probably Friday before they decide. If he can determine that Favre's playing gives his team the best chance to beat the Patriots, Favre's going to play. They will shoot him up. They will inject his ankle. They'll do whatever they can, and he'll play. It's that simple. I happen to believe that that is the case. Now, we don't get a chance to see a guy like Tavares Jackson in practice. Then again, maybe Minnesota Vikings fans don't get a chance to see him either. But at the same time, I just, you know, how scared are you if Jackson comes? I mean, I realize he's probably a little bit more of a multi-pronged threat running with the football. But I don't think he's certainly the passer, even that Brett Favre still is to this day. So I'm just, you know, it's again, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out over the week. You know, it just never ceases to amaze that every week, every stinking week, we get a great subplot. Or we get several great subplots to the actual playing of the football game on a Sunday. And, you know, of course, this week we knew we were going to have, you know, the return of Randy Moss. Oh, and by the way, it's Halloween. And, oh, by the way, we don't know whether or not Favre's going to play because he's got a broken foot and an ankle. But he might actually hobble out there on one foot, one leg, and try to play. So, I mean, it's good. It's, I mean, and, oh, and yeah, and let's add in, not the least of which is the fact that the Vikings are, you know, they're playing with their backs to the wall just like San Diego did this past week. They're 2-4. It's an underachieving team, for lack of a better word. More was expected of the Vikings, just like more was expected of the Chargers going into this season. They have not produced. They have not produced. And because they haven't produced, well, you're going to face some scrutiny. All right, let me see. Let me get a couple of Facebook things in here. Alan says, John, don't know if you have them in the States, but over here in the UK, I like toffee apples or candy apples, which is an apple covered in toffee on a stick. The apple can also be covered in chocolate. It's delicious. Yeah, we have candy apples here. Sure, I've had candy apples. Actually, I've had caramel apples. Caramel apples are a big October / Halloween, you know, time of year treat here. So candied apples, I guess, would be the phrase for basically here, Alan. But there's no doubt about that. That's good stuff. Paul sends this. He says, John, where to start with Nitpick Tuesday? Got to look at the offense. The D did enough in the first half for the Patriots to be out of sight by halftime, but the O failed to deliver. A great third quarter drive before the D started to capitulate, and then the fourth quarter failure on fourth down with San Diego having three timeouts. I think it was the wrong decision and that we should have punted to put them as far from field goal range as possible. A great win for the Pats, but all in all, I have to say the Chargers lost it more than we won it. I really can't disagree with that, Paul.
Nail on the head.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all. I came away from that game, and I was watching it with John Zanini, who does the, you know, spotting for me during the home games here. We were watching the game, sitting and watching it together, and our first reaction was, you know, Chargers lost that game. Patriots didn't win it. Chargers lost it. There's a difference. I mean, yes, the Patriots are the benefactor, but I think most everybody understands what I mean. You don't feel like you actually went out and outperformed somebody. I mean, statistically speaking, the Patriots did not perform anybody. They were miserable in the first half on offense. They were only slightly better than miserable in the second half. They only had, what, two, three drives, I think, the whole half. So, I mean, you know, they didn't outperform anybody. Yeah, I think the Chargers lost it. I mean, they don't turn that ball over four times. That's a game that they probably win and probably win going away. I mean, I realize the Patriots scored, what, 10? I think just 10 off of the turnovers. Was it 10 or 13? Just off the top of my head. I think it was 10. At any rate, never mind the point now. I mean, if the Patriots manage to score 10 or 13 points without the benefit of turnovers, they still lose that game. You know, I wasn't surprised to see the Chargers play with a little emotion, a little intensity. They almost had too much intensity at times. And you could clearly tell that that's a talented, talented football team. There's a reason why many of us, including yours truly, thought they would not only win that division, but have a chance to, you know, be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl. They have talent. They've got actually a pretty deep team because they were missing several of their frontline guys and still probably should have beaten the Patriots. But it's the intangibles that, as we all know, make or break a team. The Patriots have lived on intangibles over the better course of the last decade, as we all know around here. And you don't have to necessarily have the most talent. You know, the old saying goes, he who has the most toys wins. Well, I don't think that's the case in the NFL. He who wants to play the game wins in the NFL. You know, stop worrying about, you know, accolades and what you should be doing, and just concentrate on doing your job. And if you and your teammates happen to think alike and you're all on the same page about doing your job, then your team is probably going to beat the other one. I do believe that to be the case in professional sports, especially in pro football. And I just don't think the Chargers are doing that good a job of it right now, and maybe that does point back to the head coach. You know, they have historically had, as we talked about most of last week, they have historically had very difficult starts, 2-3 starts, you know, to the season, now 2-4. And they've managed to pull themselves out of it and still, you know, make a run of the playoffs. And because, you know, they're in the AFC West this year, it's entirely possible that they could still get in with his a record as poor as 8-8. They could still find a way to win that division. I'll be interested to watch the San Diego-Kansas City rematch. And how about what the Oakland Raiders did, by the way? Can you believe what they did this last weekend against Denver? 59-14? I mean, I saw that score pop up a couple of times while I'm watching the game, and I'm like, that can't be right. That's got to be a glitch. And then you get the first highlight, and then you see it's 38-0 in the first half, and you're like, what the hell is going on in Denver? I got to tell you, I'm beginning to think now that the Patriots may have solved their offensive coordinator problem, if there is one. The next offensive coordinator might be Josh McDaniels. It just might be. I mean, I don't know that the guy's in trouble or not, but, I mean, this team is you know, take away that 6-0 start that they had to his career last year. This team's not good. Not good at all. And they're going the wrong direction. So, clearly, they're not buying into what he's trying to sell right now. That'll be an interesting story, I think, to follow for the remainder of the season. You know, whether or not Denver, A, can be a factor in that division, even though it's a subpar division, and B, if they're not able to be a factor, in other words, be in that race to the bitter end, even if 8-8 is going to be what it takes to win it, you know, okay, then did the Broncos decide to make a change? Heck, you got to realize they had what they have now. They had already with Shanahan. And they cut him loose a couple of years ago. So, you know, it seems to me they're kind of getting more of the same. And, again, I don't say this to denigrate Josh. Josh is an amazing talent. I think we all know that here. We hated to lose him, but we also all realize that at some point all kids grow up. And all kids need a chance to go out and be on their own at some point in time. Parents, you know that when you're, you know, little ones go away to school and, you know, go out and get jobs and try to make their way in the world. You hope that you've equipped them with the difference between right and wrong and the difference to make decisions and or the ability to make decisions and do the right thing and do well for themselves and for their loved ones. And yeah, sure. And it's the same thing with football coaches. You know, you train them, you bring them along, you nurture them, you try to win a few games with them. And then before you know it, you know, well, hey, they've grown up. It's time to run their own ship. And I kind of felt like, you know, that's what a lot of people felt about Josh. Likeable guy, smart guy. But he wasn't going to be here as an offensive coordinator forever. Everybody aspires to something bigger. Just know, Josh, that, you know, I think we probably have a space here for you if you want it. It could happen. Could happen. All right, let me get to a couple of other items here. Again, webradio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. And Facebook as well. I got to update Facebook, so give me a minute or two on that one, and then we'll get that one updated. Not only am I looking for your nitpicks, of course, again, from Sunday's win over the Chargers, but what's your favorite Halloween candy? What's your favorite Halloween candy? I didn't know that we get a chance to do that this week, but since the Patriots are playing on Halloween, I'm going to miss trick-or-treating. I've got one of those blocks. My house is in one of those neighborhoods that's like, well, it's the neighborhood that Beaver Cleaver lived in. Okay, you know, everybody goes in everybody else's house. I mean, it's a nice neighborhood. It's a very comfortable neighborhood. It's the kind of neighborhood you want to raise kids in. Everybody's friendly. All the neighbors look out for each other. I mean, there's a reason that I've lived in this neighborhood for all 22 years that I've been a Rhode Islander. You know, it's a great neighborhood to be in. Halloween is big in my neighborhood. Big. We have a huge parade. We literally have 1,000 people or more from the neighborhood. And all the kids in their costumes the afternoon of Halloween before trick-or-treating starts, and we get police escort, and we go around, you know, the three or four blocks that encompass our neighborhood, and we all walk, and we schmooze, and we, you know, we get out, and we say hello to each other, and we talk, and we just have a big community hoo-ha. I'm going to miss that on Sunday because I'll be hoo-haing with you here at Gillette. So in honor of Halloween, whether you'll be here or not, I just wanted to ask a very simple question. You know, what's your favorite candy? And I want to see, before the show is over here, we got another hour and 6 minutes to go, but I want to see if anybody can come up actually with my favorite candy. Now, I'll give you a couple of hints of what my favorite candy is, because this is something that was readily available when I was a youngster trick-or-treating 40 years ago. Readily available. You know, comes in little snack pack sizes.
Did you just give it away by saying snack pack?
No.
Okay.
So no, it comes in, like you buy the big bag and, you know, you got the little tiny packs inside of it. You know, no, it's not pudding. Pudding? No.
I don't know.
No. Ugh. For Halloween? Come on.
Hey, I wasn't alive back in the Stone Ages, all right?
Ooh, okay. Thanks. I deserve that. But, you know, you don't hear too many. First of all, it's harder to find them now. You can still find them on occasion. You can still find these on occasion. Sometimes you really have to go to, like, the major candy stores or, like, the Walmarts or the Targets. I don't know that you can find these, like, at your, you know, corner drugstores anymore or even some of your supermarkets. But it is something that was really popular with kids back about 40 years ago in particular. Pure sugar is all I'm going to say, okay?
Can I guess?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Pez?
No.
Necco wafers?
No.
My dad used to eat Necco.
Although
Necco
wafers are, oh, those are good.
And those are something you don't find too much anymore.
I liked the brown Necco wafers because they were kind of, you know, root beerish, you know? I liked those. Those
are
good.
That was the thing that my dad, like, kind of brought to me and was just like, hey, I used to eat these when I was your age.
Like those.
Now you can't really find them anymore.
Stripper sends me this note on Facebook. He says, on Halloween, I just quickly toss ice cubes into the kids' bags. They never know the difference.
He's a bad, bad man.
Well, I have called him a name here on the program before. He's just living up to the role, I think. Oh, that's funny. Hey, maybe we should add Halloween pranks into the mix here. What's the best Halloween prank you either ever pulled yourself or you had pulled on you, if you'll admit it? See, you still have some relative anonymity here, you know, because it is, you know, you don't necessarily have to, you know, send me your name or where you're from, although I think you're kind of, you know, if you don't, so, but that's okay. Yeah. What's the greatest? I'll tell you the greatest Halloween prank we ever pulled. I ever pulled. And I never got in trouble for it. Is the statute of limitations gone? I hope so. We had this wooded area down the hill from where I live, probably about quarter to, you know, a half a mile away from where my home was. And, you know, and once you went into the wooded area where there was a park and swing sets and everything, at night it was very difficult to see in there. And this is where all the us kids, this is where we would go and sort of congregate, you know, like on Friday nights. We'd go hang out at the swings with quotation marks around the swings and, you know, inevitably beer would show up and, you know, some kids would smoke cigarettes and, you know, it wasn't ever really a lot of dope, but there was beer and cigarettes readily available. And, we would go to the swings on Halloween because everybody else is out, you know, trick or treating or whatever. As we got a little bit older or a little too old, I guess my parents might have called it for trick or treating and say we'd go into somebody's house for a party or whatever. We would make a homemade slingshot out of, you know, rubber hoses and like a half of a Clorox bleach bottle, and then we would fill balloons with water, and then we would tie the hoses between the two trees and slingshot the water balloons at cars driving by, coming out of the woods where you could not see.
You gangbangers.
I know. It's just damn kids. Now, that was fun. And whenever we would make a score a direct hit, you know, obviously we wouldn't do it if there were kids on the street or if there was a lot of traffic. It was only if there was an odd car coming, you know, because we'd have a bird scout up the street saying, hey, you know, car coming, you know, in approximately 1 or 2 minutes, and, you know, and it's a solo car, and so we'd get ready to do it because nobody really wanted to have the cops come over. And we thought if it was an sort of a random type thing that nobody would call the police. We never really intended to hit a car because if we hit a car, then we had to scatter because then, you know, the car would... They would screech and they would stop, you know, and we kept waiting for someone to pull out a shotgun and start firing into the woods.
Damn kids.
So fortunately that never happened.
We used to wait in college. We had a water balloon launcher and we would up at UMass and we would take like ice balls, snowballs.
Oh, yeah.
and launch them at the UPS and FedEx trucks.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They were, you know, on a college campus that big. Similar. All over the place.
Similar. That's what we would
strategy,
do. But we never had enough
our
snow or ice.
Was, you know, you get a regular sedan or an SUV, you know, there's a lot of windows in those things. But for a UPS or a FedEx truck, you have this big box-like structure
right,
with no windows, so you can just wail on it, and it just makes a big noise. And you just watch the guy try to figure out, well, what the hell was that? And that was all the fun for us.
There you go. All right, CeCe, now we got some good, you know, Halloween prank talk going as well. All right, let's pause here for a timeout because I've got to update the website here and also get the emails back updated again. Webradio@patriots.com, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Nitpicks from Sunday, favorite Halloween candy, favorite Halloween prank, all on the table in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. Can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Hour number two for Patriots Playbook on a Tuesday here on Patriots.com Radio. I am John Rook, Patriots Game Week with the Minnesota Vikings. Man, does it just, I mean, can you really believe that there's an opportunity now to get through this three-week gauntlet, as we described it? Eric Scalavino and I talked about this back week one, week two of this season, right? That this was going to be the toughest three-week stretch maybe in recent memory. And there's a chance to go, 3-0, during this streak. There's a chance to go 3-0. Now, that's unbelievable. I would also tell you that nobody saw or nobody could foresee what was going to happen with the opposition over this time. Now, Baltimore certainly has lived up to billing, although certainly the Buffalo Bills gave them a run for the money. And you know what? Good for Buffalo. I wish they had pulled it off. Nobody could have foreseen, though, the Chargers being down like this or the Vikings potentially being down like this. And I say potentially only because we don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. Vikings come in here and clean up the floor with the Patriots, and then we're going to say, well, that was still pretty tough, wasn't it? Now, if you get through 2-1 out of this 3 weeks, well, then that's really more you could ask for. I think we all thought, really going in, if this team could find a way to go 1-2 during this 3 week stretch, that it would be, and not lose too many to injury, that you'd still be competitive, that you'd still set yourself up well. You'd probably be behind the Jets or, at the time, the Dolphins in the division standings, but you still set yourself up for a good run in November and December. The fact that the Patriots have a chance to go 3-0 through this stretch is remarkable. Says something about the way this team is beginning to, kind of come together a little bit. We are seeing some signs of improvement defensively, even though we sit here and we nitpick about it. And I'm going to read some of those here momentarily. I thought the offense clearly took a step back this last week. And it's time for you to get nitpick number two from me. And it certainly has to do with the 4th-and-1. The first thing that I saw, or when, the play, opportunity came up on 4th-and-1 is good. They're going for it. They should go for it. They absolutely should go for it. That's my thought process. I think that's a great call. You try to win the game when you have a chance to, you know, hit somebody in the mouth and win the game and take it from them. You take the game from the opposition when you're on the road. You don't wait for somebody to screw up, although San Diego did that many, many times, and ultimately it did cost them. As we said earlier, San Diego lost this game really more than the Patriots won it. I think we can all admit that. But when you have a chance to take it from somebody and win the game, you whack them in the mouth and you do that. And that's what the Patriots did by trying to make it in 4th and 1. The play call was terrible. The execution was worse than terrible. You know, honestly, you know, I talked with Paul Perillo earlier at the tail end of PFW today about, you know, the Brady sneak and the fact that, you know, he rarely gets stopped. And yes, I know that they were stacked in the middle. It would have been very difficult for him to sneak in that instance because they did have almost like a goal line package in the game defensively. But as you looked at it, I mean, clearly the thought process was to get behind Dan Connolly in a goal line package and let Benny work his way in there and squeeze through for a yard. But except he missed his read. He just blindly went where he thought he could go, and he did not take the time to read it. You still have to take time to read it. And this was really the biggest difference and the biggest problem I know that we all had with a guy like Lawrence Maroney. When he was here, he took too much time for his reads. I don't fault him for reading, but sometimes you have to just go. And you have to know when to go. You have to have that instinct when to go. And he took way too much time to kind of dance around and go side to side before he would read the hole, read the opportunity, and then go through it. It's, you know, read and react is what gets you in trouble. React and read is really what these guys should be doing. Sounds kind of screwy, but really that, in effect, is what it is. And obviously Green Ellis didn't do that. He didn't do it very well. Now, don't get me wrong. But Jarvis Green Ellis is a nice little player. He's a great guy. He's certainly an integral part of this football team. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I kind of backed off it because I think some people got the impression that I was banging on Ben Jarvis, like I was banging on, you know, Darius Butler. I was banging on Lawrence Maroney. That is not the case. I have merely said that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is not a number one back. He's a complimentary player. He is a Kevin Faulk. And as we all know, again, Kevin Faulk has made a career out of being a complimentary player. In fact, Kevin Faulk will probably be in the Patriot Hall of Fame. You know, the Hall of Flame, you know, Hall of whatever they call it now. Presented by Raytheon. Where's Brian Morey? He'll probably be in the Hall of Fame here at Gillette Stadium. Yeah. What was
presented
that?
By Raytheon.
Thank you. Presented by Raytheon. And deservedly so. Kevin will be there deservedly so because of what he's meant to this franchise and his longevity. So he's made a career out of that. No reason that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis can't be that same type of player. Now, it's pretty clear to see that he's going to have to improve his blocking skills because that's one of the things that is most underrated about Faulk is his ability to pick up blitzers and keep a guy like Tom Brady upright and healthy for a few more years into his career. And I think that was a problem on Sunday. That's not necessarily another nitpick, but it kind of all ties in with the whole 4th and 1 thing. A better play call would have been to go to the other side because I think it would have been unexpected. They did that on the touchdown. I just think that had to be another way. And he missed, obviously, the call himself. He missed the call. He missed the read. You know, I had a Facebooker earlier here in the program suggest, you know, that maybe that wasn't the best call at all. Maybe they should have just punted it and tried to pin San Diego deep. I'm not totally averse to that. And had they decided to do that, because the ball was right around midfield anyway, I don't think I would have been upset and just like, you know, BS about it.
I know I was kind of leaning toward wanting them to punt it.
Because, you know, if you're able to put the ball and pin them inside, say, the 10-yard line, which I think we all realize Mesko can do.
Especially from that range.
From that range, you got plenty of room. Maybe even take a 5-yard penalty to give yourself a little more room there. You know, and you waste 5 more seconds off the, or, you know, whatever, off the clock. Then, frankly, you know what? That's fine. It's a little scary because, again, as I said in nitpick number one today, you know, the corners still play too soft here. But you know he's going to throw. So maybe you can, you know, play the big nickel or whatever and have the extra defender out there. And then, you know, maybe you can take a chance in some of those balls. We won't know because obviously it's a moot point now.
I got to give the defense a little credit, though, because I was, once they did get stuffed, I was real, real scared that San Diego was going to go score a touchdown.
Oh, I did. I was too. And I was like, you know, in fact, saying to nobody in particular, my worry was they would score the touchdown. I thought the field goal was a given.
Yeah. And one of my buddies made the point, well, now we have no timeouts. So if they go score, now we're stuck with nothing. We're going to have no time.
And we'll have no time. Brady would have 20 seconds or whatever.
We were in a real tough spot.
Yeah, tough spot. So you have to give the defense some plaudits here for, you know, being able to make a play. And then, obviously, San Diego, once again, shot itself in the foot with the illegal procedure penalty just before the kick. And so the difference between a 45-yarder and a 50-yarder, I think as we all saw, can be huge. And a guy like Chris Brown, did you see the stat that CBS put up on the screen right before he kicked? And the reason why he really is gone from the Houston Texans is because his field goal percentage in crunch time was abysmal. And there's a reason why he's no longer a member of the Texans. I do think, though, he was put in an untenable situation. He was not put in a he was not put in a good situation at all. I felt badly for him. Even Stephen Gostkowski said after the game, he said, you know, I never root against kickers unless the game is on the line. But even so, he felt badly for Chris Brown because he was put in a bad situation here. Your new team, you know, you're trying to make an impression, so there's already enough pressure on you as it is. You know it's going to be a short-lived prospect until your regular guy gets well again. And you're having to work with, you know, new snapper, new holder, new everything. You know, it's just, and then all of a sudden then, you know, you get geared and you get your sights set and all of a sudden, boom, illegal procedure, and it backs you up 5 yards. And I think as we all saw, that 5 yards meant the difference between making it and missing it because he doinked it off the right upright. 5 yards closer, that might not have been a doink. That might have squeezed in. So that was a gift. It was a gift. But, you know, the whole, you know, poor play call and even poorer execution on 4th and 1 set that up. All right, let's get to some emails now because we're long overdue here. We've been asking not only about, you know, your nitpicks, but also about your your favorite Halloween candy from days gone by. And let's see if anybody can suggest to me, and maybe your favorite Halloween candy is mine, but see if anybody can figure out what my favorite Halloween candy from my youth days was. I've given you a couple of hints already.
Did you say Utes?
Utes. Hey, when in Rome. I said lots of sugar, little individual packets. I will also tell you that caramel is involved.
Caramello?
No. No. You're going to kick yourself when you
what
finally hear
this. What about those, like, bullseye things?
Nope.
With the cream in the caramel on the outside, the cream in the middle?
No. Nope. It's very simple. Simple, you know, candy. It was, like I said, very, very popular about 40 years ago.
Twix
I still
bars.
Find them. Huh? Twixes? No. No, Twixes are good, by the way, but no, that's not it. Although I guess I'm kind of probably a Kit Kat man more than a Twix man.
Break you off a piece of that?
Yeah. Careful. Careful with that. All right, here we go. This one comes from Derek from the University of Arizona, who says, John, can't listen live, so I apologize if I say something repetitive. No worries. He says, my only nitpick for the game would be the Patriots not capitalizing offensively. They did defensively on the San Diego turnovers. Patriots offense has lost a touchdown a week in production since the Moss trade, although they are 2-1. It's a good point by you, Derek. Yeah, we've seen that they don't really have that explosiveness. At least it doesn't appear that they still have that explosiveness without Randy Moss involved. Be interesting to find out if they can get that back, because obviously, you know, they won 3 Super Bowls without Moss. They didn't win one with him. So sometimes explosiveness, big play capability is sort of overrated. He says, one more thought. As Bill said to the team after the game, don't apologize for a win. I could not agree more. I'm not complaining. I think this Pats team is special. Might not always be pretty, but they win. While some players apologized for making some errors, there is time for corrections. A win on the road, in conference, should not be overlooked, and Bill understands that. This tells me Belichick knows his young players expect excellence from themselves, and they know Bill expects the same. A team with that kind of dedication, that kind of drive and commitment to excellence is one to which we reckon with. Excuse me. I write for Pats Fans, and I'll have an entry up expanding on those thoughts soon. Thanks for reading. All right, Derek, thank you. I didn't realize you wrote for Pats Fans. Good stuff. All right. So Derek from the University of Arizona chiming in there. All right, Christopher sends us his Halloween prank. Oh, goody, we got a couple here. He says, driving my mom's Dodge Caravan around with a troop of buddies in the back. When we found some trick-or-treaters, I'd pull alongside the poor kids while my friends opened the sliding door. They'd peg the unfortunate souls with eggs. I'd tap the brakes so the sliding door would shut, and off we'd race to the next group. You guys are just mean. That's just mean. How old were the kids?
It's better than ice cubes.
Well, that's just, yeah. I mean, because that's just going to ruin the candy. When the ice cubes melt, that just ruined the candy. I just, you know, that's mean too.
1 year in high school, my buddies and I were hanging out. You know, we were trick-or-treating, whatever. And we saw these kids who looked like they were getting ready to go and egg a couple houses. Mm-hmm. And we were all on the lacrosse team at the time, so we had lacrosse sticks with us because I guess we went as lacrosse players.
Yeah.
So we loaded up eggs in our lacrosse sticks and just started hucking them at the kids.
Oh, that's funny at least. Mean, but funny.
I think that was the same Halloween my friend got arrested for allegedly being in the area of an exploding mailbox.
Allegedly. Yeah, I like it. See, now, here's the thing with me and eggs. I think eggs are mean-spirited because if you get an egg onto a side of a house or on especially in a car, it takes the paint off because of the acidity in the yolk. So I never egged anybody, never wanted to egg anybody because I've had my car egged and it ruined my car and cost me several $100 in damage, you know, for paint. So if I ever really wanted to get somebody, we TP'd them, man. Anybody ever TP anybody? Wrap a house? That's what we used to call it growing up. We wrapped a house. Hey, so-and-so got wrapped last night. Take about, 10 toilet roll papers and just throw them up in the trees because, it wouldn't cost anybody any money, but it would certainly cost you.
Toilet roll paper.
Toilet roll paper.
Toilet paper roll?
Oh, whatever. Whatever. What can I tell you? I'm from Texas.
You're thinking about that candy.
Things go backwards. Which candy? No, it is not. There was no roll to it. My candy? No roll to it. Nope. You're trying to get me to squeal. I'm not going to do it. I'm trying to get it to come out. Nope. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Sugary comes in little packets. Caramel is involved. Two words. That's what they're called. Okay? All right. There you go. Not giving you any more hints now. You got to come up with it. David, is your favorite candy corn? Or maybe even circus peanuts? Ah! You remember circus peanuts? Oh, my Lord. Those were foul. Foul!
I had a friend who used to swear by those, and they're absolutely disgusting.
Oh, my God, they're gross. Now, I actually got used to them, but I did one of those stupid things one time when you, have a little too much of a particular something or other, and I just started eating them, because I was hungry. Yeah, and that kind of was what happened. And so anytime I see a circus peanut now, it's just kind of like, I don't know if I want to go there. Thank you. I'd rather go there. But, circus peanuts. Yeah. By the way, what are they made of? Is it marshmallow? Did we ever determine that? Did anybody ever know what circus peanuts are made of?
I think so, but it's a weird consistency of a marshmallow.
Yeah, it's like a stale marshmallow, almost. And by the way, you get the circus peanuts in those big bags, but they're not individually wrapped. So nowadays, it's very difficult to put that kind of a piece of candy in a kid's bag, because if you're a good parent, you see any candy that comes when your kid dumps it on the counter on the kitchen table, is any candy that's unwrapped? Immediately into the trash.
So what are you giving out at the Rook household this year?
We usually give out
Do the king size candy bars?
No, we give out all the minis, but we buy these huge, 3-pound bags, and we usually go through it at my house, 10 or more of these 3-pound bags a year. So we give out well over 30 pounds of candy. 30 pounds. And it usually is a variety of Reese's peanut butter cups, of Junior Mints. We do the little bite-sized Three Musketeer and Milky Ways. Usually a combination of those.
Have you ever had the Hershey's Mr. Good Bar or the Crackle?
Crackle. Oh, yeah.
But you know what bothers me about those?
Dark chocolate. They ever had the dark chocolate?
Yeah.
Oh,
but you know what
excellent.
You know what bothers me about the Crackle and the Mr. Good Bar?
No.
They don't make a full-size candy bar.
Yeah, they only make the little ones.
Little
yeah.
It's so disappointing. It's
Crackle
the
is
best candy.
Crackle is excellent. Yes, I like that. Crackle's a good one. Ooh, circus peanuts. Ooh, got off track there. David says, I had a friend that handed out bouillon cubes when he ran out of candy. Kids thought it was caramel. Can you imagine putting a bouillon cube in your mouth? Oh, my God. He says, P.S., I'm listening from Baghdad, Iraq. Love the show and commentary. Wow. That's Major David. I'm sorry. Forgive me for giving your name. Major David Perkins, who's with the U.S. Forces in Iraq.
We just had a call, and he wanted me to ask you if it was Milk Duds.
No. Close, but no cigar. Not Milk Duds. Close, but no cigar.
Coopers.
No. By the way, Major Perkins, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate... What, Raisinets? No. Not Raisinets. We appreciate your...
The little caramel squares.
Oh, my God! No. What do we give somebody if they get it?
A piece of the candy.
Yeah, I'll mail you a bag of the candy. Major Perkins, thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to us, and thank you for what you're doing for us in Iraq. It's greatly appreciated. So that's really cool. Did you see that, Jace? Baghdad, Iraq, right here, chiming in today.
Put a pin.
Most definitely. Got the map still here? Yeah, still over here, right? Okay. Make sure that it's there. Thank you, Major. Darwin says, I'm guessing John's favorite candy was Tootsie Rolls. Wrong. Love listening to you guys. Go Pats from up here in Canada. La Canadia. Thank you, Darwin. Thank you very much for making us a part of your day. All right, Tim in Baltimore chimes in. Hey, John, I too was surprised by Oakland's offensive outburst because I started Denver's defense that week in my fantasy football league. Woo-hoo! The only thing that could cheer me up would be I dream of Genie costume on the sidelines on Sunday. See what you can do. I think I dream of Genie will be in the mix. We've seen that in the past. That's another good thing. Favorite? Maybe we might have to change that for later this week. Yeah, if we have time to do it. Or we could kind of start it now and see what kind of suggestions we get. But the favorite cheerleader costumes on Halloween. I dream of Genie has been a good one.
Naughty Nurse.
The Naughty Nurse was especially good. Candy Striper was good. The schoolgirl with the plaid skirt and the white knee socks. Oh, my goodness.
Catwoman.
And Catwoman. That's the other one I was just getting ready to go to. Catwoman.
From 2008.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was particularly outstanding. Yeah, yeah.
I heard a bit.
I can't concentrate on football now. I'm sorry. It's done.
I heard bad news, though.
What?
I heard there's a chance of rain this weekend.
No!
But seriously? You remember what happened last year for the Halloween game, right?
They came out and did at least something in their costumes before they changed into the rain suits or the sweats.
They lasted in their costumes through the first half.
Right, and then they changed. Okay.
But that was the, I want to say that was the Tennessee game?
Oh, was that the game where it snowed?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right.
Because I remember calling the cheerleading coach going, look, we picked music for Halloween. You guys got to do your costumes. And she goes, oh, yeah, of course we're doing our costumes. That's okay. Not even a question.
Okay, good. All right. Well, even if it rains then, I'm sure that they'll come out there and they'll at least just show off the costumes for a couple of routines, and then they have to change into the rain gear. But yikes. Yeah.
Porno music.
Is that what that is? I don't know. I don't know anything about that. Bow chicka bow bow. No, I don't know anything about it. Sean, here we go. Oh my goodness, we have a winner. Sean guessed the candy. He says sugar daddies or sugar babies. Sugar babies.
You're the man.
Way to go, Sean. Yeah, sugar babies. Do you remember sugar babies?
I do. I don't think I ever had them, though. I remember
they're the
seeing
little,
the boxes.
They're the little tiny...
Yellow box.
Well, yeah, they're in yellow boxes, but in later years they would come in the yellow, small, rectangular, square, yellow, and red wrappers. There'd probably be like 10 per box, or 10 per little thing. And they were basically sugar-coated caramel drops, is what they were. They had a hard shell on the outside, and then it was, you know, the mushy caramel on the inside. And you could, like, you know, squeeze them, and, you know, very, very chewy, and kind of get stuck in your teeth, but delicious.
Didn't they come as a lollipop at one point, too?
I believe they did, yeah. Well, that's what a sugar daddy is. A sugar daddy is basically a sugar baby on a stick.
You sure?
Yeah.
I thought it was something else.
No, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the candy sugar daddy, you dope.
Not the guy?
Well, I don't mind being one of those either. Somebody, you know, is like, you know, needs one. I could, you know, see what I can do. I don't have a lot of money, but...
Hello.
Yeah, I'd be glad to take care of you, you know? I mean, I'd be glad to see what I could come up with.
Excuse, what's coming up? Excuse me?
Nothing. Nothing's coming up. Sean says, buy me a beer at the Clevelander next year. Done. Done. I'll be back at the Clevelander, I think, on the 20th of November, if anybody's interested. Or the 19th. It'll be the Friday night before the Saturday. I've got to go do... the U-Miami game on the 20th, so that's why I'll be back there. All right, so Sean, congratulations. You've guessed it. Way to go. Craig says, pure sugar equal fun dip. You know what? Obviously that's not it, but I've never gotten the fun dip part. I mean, I realize that, you know, the kids open up the little thing and they have the little dipstick that's like a, isn't that like a sweet tart on a stick type
it's
thing?
No, pure sugar. Hard, pure sugar.
Oh. Well, my son
not
used
bitter
to.
At all.
Both of my kids love the fun dip packets that you'd get.
See, I pictured your kids as Pixie Stick fans and just pouring the straight sugar.
No, not the Pixie Stick. They like the dip, you know. Not the kind of dip that you like, but they like the dip. So that's what that was. I never got the point of it because it just kind of made my teeth hurt when I saw it, you know. Look at that stuff and you're like, oh, my teeth want to, they start rotting and reducing, you know, just by looking at that stuff. Chris in Seattle says, 100 grand bars, no question. Ooh, that's a good one. 100 grand? You ever see? So that's another one that you rarely see, I think, nowadays made in a full size or a bigger candy bar. Is
$1 million.
Not quite that expensive. 100 grand, though. That's got the chocolate, the caramel, and the Rice Krispie, you know, candies in there, too. That's pretty good stuff. That's a good candy bar.
How about the Snickers Take 5? Have you ever had that?
Snickers Take 5?
It's got like pretzel and peanut butter and caramel in it.
I don't think I've had it.
Amazing.
Really? Pretzel, peanut butter, and caramel? I'll have to try that.
You'll have to find your go to your local CVS and pick one up.
I'll see if I can find that.
And Kev points out the pretzel M&Ms.
Ooh, now I've wanted to try those. Are those good? Pretzel M&Ms? Are they?
He says he's heard good things.
Heard good things? All right. I'll have to try that then.
You need gas in your car on your way home, right?
Yeah. Might have to stop.
Stock up the basement for the show tomorrow?
Might have to. So can I munch on, you know, on air? I know that infuriates people when they hear the guys eat while they're doing the show. Do I have permission then to do that tomorrow as long as I'm crunching Halloween candy?
You're in your basement. As long as you bring some for us on Thursday, it's a fair deal.
Deal. Okay. All right. Sean sends his nitpick. He says, John, offensive production. I will not feel confident sitting down for any games until I see consistent offensive production. That means moving down the field steadily and not running into a pile twice and then throwing at someone's legs. I'm happy we're 5-1, but we probably should be 3-3. I would concur, Sean. This year, for the first time in a long time, we are getting some turnovers and some breaks. I want Favre to play, so when passes are thrown downfield, we have a chance to get some picks. Jackson is a mobile quarterback, somewhat, and I think if he starts running around in the backfield, everything else will open up for them. I agree with you. The matchups are not good. I don't think the Pats will win Sunday, but it's okay since they won against the Ravens and Chargers. He says, by the way, my favorite candy, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. An oldie, but a goodie. Good stuff, Sean. Thank you. And, yes, he did get the sugar babies correct, so good job out of you. You know, the matchups, as I said earlier, no, I think the matchups are not really in the Patriots' favor when you put the Patriots' defense against the Vikings' offense. I do think, again, I will reiterate here what I said earlier, that I think the Patriots have a better chance and perhaps a little bit more predictable chance if Favre is in there at quarterback other than what Jackson will bring. Now, I know Jackson doesn't scare anybody. He may not scare the guys down the hallway. But there is the opportunity to open some things up. They might simplify things for Jackson as well, and allow a guy like Peterson to just, you know, run all day. Who knows? I guess we'll find out. But as I said earlier in the program, and I'll reiterate it here, I'll be surprised if Favre does not play. And I think that may play into the Patriots' hands if he does. So we'll get through the week here a little bit, and we'll find out if that is going to happen. Okay. He said, this is Justin. This is easy from Cali. He says, if you don't like nuts, you should try the Brechamacallit with no nuts. Okay. Obviously, that's something that I don't know about, so I'll just leave it at that. Thank you very much. Have no idea what that means. Don't even want to know. Don't care. Gustavo, our friend in Brazil, says, John, how are you? Great win for us again. Ugly game, but still a win. My nitpick is about the offense. What happened to them in the last two games? A lot of drops from the wide receivers and some bad throws by Brady. Do you think that Hernandez and Tate are feeling a bit of pressure without Moss? You know, no. I think that's actually a pretty good question, Gustavo, but I don't think they're feeling pressure. What I'll tell you is that I think teams are adjusting to where there's a little bit more traffic. And so because there's a little bit more traffic, a little closer to the line of scrimmage, you're not finding a guy like Tate who's benefiting from, double coverage sometimes that had gone Randy Moss's way. Somebody else had asked me the question, you know, how come Tate hasn't gotten involved? Well, because he's still learning how to get open. He has to learn how to, you know, fight through some things. He has to learn how to separate himself when you don't have an elite receiver lined up on the other side against you. And again, I say that with all due respect to a guy like Deion Branch, who, you know, in effect is the Patriot elite receiver along with Wes Welker, but they're not down the field kind of guys. Tate needs to develop. He could be that kind of guy for the Patriots down the field. But when you know that you're, you know, not going to get single coverage on some occasions because they don't need to go off and double somebody else, it's going to be tougher for you to get open. And I think that's what you're seeing here, especially in Tate's instance, because people know he's fast. They know he's got the ability to kill you, you know, with his speed, because he's returned a couple of kickoffs for touchdowns. Hernandez is just a guy that knows how to run a route. And teams are starting to recognize this, so teams are paying Hernandez some attention. But he's still going to manage to get open. And I fully expect to see Hernandez. He's not really a tight end. I think he's a tight end only because they had to stick that kind of moniker to him. And he might have, and he played that at Florida. He's really going to end up being a wideout. He'll end up being a wide receiver for the Patriots because he's a hybrid more than anything else. He says, Gustavo, on the other hand, it's very good to see our defense playing well, at least better than we expected. How about McCourty? He's showing some good football for the last three games so far. Yeah, I mentioned earlier, Gustavo, I agree with you. McCourty is starting to look like the kind of player that you would expect a number one draft pick to be. He's showing some athleticism. He's showing the ability to recover. If this team is telling him to play off the receiver, which I'm kind of getting the sense now that this is what our corners are being told. They're being told to give the underneath route so they don't get beat long, don't give up the big play. In other words, they're willing to bend but not break. And that really was one of the trademarks of some of those, you know, earlier Super Bowl caliber teams the Patriots had earlier in the last decade, the bend but not break defense. And I think that is the mindset that they're actually trying to preach here a little bit now based on what I've seen from what the corners are doing. They're still playing way too soft, and that's a big nitpick of mine. But you know what? There could be method to the madness here. McCourty has the ability to recover even when playing soft, and we saw that on his pick on Sunday. So good points there, Gustavo. Good points all. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. The Ace Ticket Hotline. I've got more Facebook messages here. Continue to send us your nitpicks via email. Your favorite Halloween candy, please, by all means, chime in with that. If you got a favorite Patriots cheerleader uniform you'd like to see on Sunday, well, we'll see what we can do. We certainly can pass the suggestion along. And if you got a Halloween prank you want to share, oh, you know what? Why not? Just throw it in there. All right? Let's squeeze in one more time out, and then we'll come back and continue right here inside the playbook.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. how many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
All right, coming down the stretch here for Patriots Playbook on a Tuesday this week. Don't forget Pete Shepard coming up at the top of the hour. Did anybody hear one of the other things that Brad Childress had to say about the Patriots in his Monday press conference with the Vikings media? Anybody hear him, you know, call Bill Belichick and the Patriots one of the all-time greatest signal stealers?
I did.
Well, if you didn't hear it, here's basically what Brad Childress had to say.
Yeah, I think they'd probably do it by coverage. I mean, I'm mindful of the last time we faced them here on Monday Night Football, and it was like a surgical procedure. You know, now that's back when we used to signal and things like that. And I remember having a conversation with Mike Tomlin about these are some of the all-time great signal stealers. And in fact, that's what was going on. You know, they were holding, and you know. We were signaling from the sideline, and they were good at it. It's like stealing signals from a catcher.
So when you were on defense, they were stealing what your defense, and then setting up their offense based on that?
Yeah, I mean, is it two, is it three, is it one? You know, if you know that as a quarterback, that's as good as you can do. And they did, as good as they can do.
Time for two more questions. That during the game that they were doing that?
No, I just had a notion, just haven't played them at the Eagles before, that they were good. It's something that we do as well, you know, I mean. It's good for one, it's good for the other, but, you know, we didn't change up, we didn't use wristbands, we didn't change the menu at halftime, and they were good at that, and obviously you don't need to give Tom any added advantage.
That was before the radio offense, right?
For the defensive radio helmet, yes. Exactly right.
Right. Brad, your team's sitting here 2-4. You're coming off an emotional loss. You got to go play a very good New England team.
Yes.
And your quarterback's in a walking boot. Is your team at a crisis point right now?
We have 10 games left. I mean, I'm not calling anything a crisis point. We need to work ourselves out of this. And I believe we got the players and the coaches to be able to work ourselves out of this.
All right.
All right, so there you go. Brad Childress, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, first of all, curious to know that a couple of places else where I'd heard that clip today, they managed to conveniently leave off the end where he said, oh, yeah, we do that too. Like he was accusing the Patriots of being cheaters, but then he obviously said later, well, we do that too. Everybody does it. It's called scouting the tape or scouting the film. And you see hand signals thrown in and you get, you know, you basically make notes of, you know, what their signals are and what the plays are running so you can kind of get a tendency for what they're calling. And unless they take the time to change their signals, well, then why wouldn't you do that? That's common sense. If I recall correctly, that game, when did they play Monday night? Was that back in 06 or 07? 06. Okay. It was 31 to what? 7 that night? Okay. The Patriots did more than just steal signals. They kicked their butts. And it wasn't just because they stole signals or they didn't wipe the ground with the Vikings that night. So that's just, you know, to say that that's, you know, that somebody is clearly has, you know, I don't know. Anyway, don't be surprised if you hear more about this as the week progresses. But please keep in mind now the second part of what Childress had to say there. Oh, yeah, well, we do that too. It's because everybody does it. And even during the whole Spygate issue that happened a couple of years ago, okay? Everybody does it. And if they tell you they don't, or at least they did do it, and if they tell you they don't, they are lying. They lie. That's all they're doing. Let's see how this...
No, stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
An habitual liar.
See, Eric's here even when he's not.
You know, Eric's always here in principle, in spirit, and he'll be here in person tomorrow. Be interesting to see how this particular angle unfolds this week, if it does, or if it just kind of lays flat and doesn't go anywhere. You know, because I know as the week progresses, it'll all be centered around Favre's ankle and foot, and Randy Moss is going to get relegated to almost an afterthought, which is shocking. It won't so much around here, but the rest of the country will all be fixated on whether or not Favre's going to have his consecutive start streak broken. That's going to be the major storyline in the NFL this week, without a question. And Moss returning to New England is going to be a subplot to that main plot. Around here, it might be a little bit different. We might see the Moss thing kind of creep up there because it is Randy Moss. But, you know, we're not going to be hurting for topics of conversation. That is for certain. All right, Glenn sends this via Facebook. He says, John, love your show. My nitpick on Sunday happened before the game. CBS bringing everyone along to watch the Buffalo game against Baltimore. With such a huge game scheduled for 4:15 between the Patriots and Chargers, they decided to show the last couple of minutes of the Buffalo game. Who cares? I certainly didn't, and was so pissed that they, CBS, did not start the Patriots game as scheduled. Well, they did where I was. They definitely cut away, at least where I was. I mean, I'm in the Providence television market, and so when it was time for the kickoff, they showed it, you know, and they showed the pregame with, you know, Jim Nantz and Phil Simms and everything. So I'm taking it then, Glenn, you obviously were out of market, and that's why they stayed with the end of your game before they went to the Patriots game. But in Providence, Boston, anywhere in New England, they cut right to it because that was the game this is the home market. He says, is it just me or was it a huge distraction disappointment to come into the Pats game midway through the first quarter? No, I can understand that it would be a distraction and a disappointment if you're a Patriots fan, but unless you're living, you know, in New England, the general rule of thumb in television is that you finish one game before you go to the next. That's the old Heidi rule that happened back in the 1970s when, NBC was the television, network at the time of record. Carrying the AFC games then. They cut away from, it was a Jets-Dolphins game, I want to say, maybe. Because NBC, the television network, had a movie scheduled right at, I think, you know, 7 o'clock Central or 6 o'clock Central, whatever it was, and the movie happened to be Heidi. And so it was a close game going right down to the end, and then top of the hour, boink, they go right into the stinking movie. And, of course, and that moment has lived in infamy in television lore and National Football League lore for decades. It's been probably 40 years ago when this happened. And so because of that moment, you have the situation in place now and the rules you have in place now with when you can cut into and show and break away from current games. And if you're in the home market of a game that is supposed to be shown, you still go to it. But if you're not in the home market of the game that you're scheduled to go to, you're going to stick with the game you got until it is completed. Even if it goes to overtime, you got to stick to it. So this is why when cable became more prevalent and satellite dishes came into being and you got Verizon Fios and all this good stuff that you have to choose from now, this is why now you have options. This is why you have things like, you know, the Red Zone channel, because at least now you can get a taste of it. This is why you have, you know, NFL Sunday ticket packages on DirecTV. Because then you don't have to worry about this stuff. And I know, it's not for everybody, and some, you know, it's not an inexpensive proposition. Not everybody can get it. And okay, I get that. I'm just telling you what the rules are with television, and that's why, you know, the game ended up the way that it did in terms of your coverage of that game. Here's one from Lyndon in Colton, California, who says, John, my wife and I went to the game this weekend. We met Robert and Myra Kraft Saturday night at the Pats tailgate party. What a great weekend. My biggest nitpick from the game would be the lack of offense, especially in the first half. I believe one of their scoring drives, a field goal, was four plays for minus 14 yards.
That is correct.
Yes, it is. I realize that the Chargers are the number one defense in terms of yards allowed, but we should be able to get 50 yards and a half of football. Yeah, well, I agree. That first half was, it was certainly fair to nitpick on. There's no doubt about that one. Poor performance. They're very lucky that, you know, they were able to get the four turnovers from the Chargers. That was the difference in the ballgame. Ultimately, that and the doink at the end by Chris Brown. Brian says, I live in New England. I had the same thing with the Buffalo game. Drove me nuts. Are we going to have Nancy James and Phyllis Sims from every game or what? Those guys are Patriot haters and terrible broadcasters. You know, I don't know what to tell
you,
Brian.
Seems like we have them every game.
I know. Well, it's because generally that's the number one CBS team, and they usually get assigned to what they feel is going to be the most highly rated game of the week. What can I tell you? You know, tell your football team, tell the Patriots to start sucking a little bit more, and maybe we won't get those guys as much anymore as announcers. Maybe we'll get Kevin Harlan or Ian Eagle. How's that? Would that be more to your suitable liking? I mean, come on. Do you really watch the game for the announcers? No, come on. It can't be real. Yeah, exactly. Well, but that's radio, Pete. See, this is why I like radio so much more, because radio, the announcers, are the show. Television, you're a bus driver, baby. The pictures tell the story. You just get in the way of the action. Television announcers do. Radio, the announcers, are the story. Don't forget that. Derek says, John, can't... Oh, this is... I already did that one. Forgive me. Here we go. You sent that earlier, Derek, and I mentioned it. Okay, this one comes from Christopher, who says, hello, y'all. Oh, he's got to be from the South. Love that. He gave me a y'all. He says, nitpick, lack of power running. Put Connolly in his fullback, pound the ball. Well, that's what they tried to do on 4th-and-1, Christopher. Obviously, it didn't work very well, did it? And again, it wasn't so much Dan Connolly's fault as it was really Benny missed the read. Make them break. And then use the play-action pass for 20 to 30. They have two types of backs. Woodhead, the speedy elusive, and Law Firm can pull off the power back. Success with running allows with passing. Screens are good, too, with the three tight end sets, but are getting predictable. How about some flea flicker? We saw that. They ran it. They ran a double reverse flea flicker, and it didn't quite work. Guy got a hand on it. It's because they can't stretch the defense. But, you know, they don't have Moss as a threat, but... I would tell you that at least they ran the play in an effort to keep the defense honest, you know, so San Diego couldn't crowd 8 in the box or whatever it was. So I give him credit for at least driving it. You know, he was open, as I recall, on that double reverse flea flicker. It was, wasn't it Brandon Tate? Yeah. The throw was underthrown by Brady. If Brady had been accurate with the throw, I actually think Tate probably gets that. But it was because it was underthrown, the defensive back made a play on it. It's Quentin Jammer, I think. Yeah, Quentin Jammer. All right, here we go. This one comes from Jesse from Maui. Hello, Jesse in Maui. Aloha. My nitpick was definitely the run that was stopped. The law firm should definitely be getting that touchdown. For me, it seems the offense is looking like the defense of last year, coming up short. I'm happy we have the new tight ends. I just hope it comes together soon. Without Chung, can we get picks off of Favre this week? Again, I hope so. My Halloween favorite candy is the 100 grand bar. Now, that's also another good choice. Thank you, Jesse. By the way, obviously, we don't know anything further about Patrick Chung, at least to this stage of the week. The first injury report will come out at about this time tomorrow, and perhaps we'll know a little bit more tomorrow when the team resumes practice and whether or not he's actually out on the field for the media portion of practice, the part that we're actually allowed to see. But we'll update you here on the program tomorrow should we know anything. Okay, we had Linden's there. This one comes from Rich from Howell, who says, football comment, people have said that there is no clear NFL powerhouse. Well, there is, San Diego. But the best team has the worst coach, Norv Turner. He keeps his team so completely unprepared to play another NFL team. Any other team that has four turnovers would have the team address the issue the following week. But apparently not San Diego.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
And that's enough about that. His candy comment is, I know it's wrong, but I was thinking caramel creams or bullseyes. He says, my favorite is the bar none, mounds, peanut butter cups, Twix, Kit Kats. He says, whichever one is in front of me is the best. Good call, Richard. Jim says he loves sugar babies too, so that's all also good. That was my favorite, Pete. I mentioned that earlier on the program.
Sugar
Pete
Shepard's
here. Oh, yeah, sugar babies, absolutely.
Oh, come on. There's so many. Sugar babies.
Sugar babies.
They stick to your teeth.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't go down
But when you're 10 years old, it doesn't matter.
It's uncomfortable.
It
does matter.
My favorite candy as a 10-year-old.
Oh, my God.
I said that was my favorite candy 4 years ago.
Like someone from Texas.
Sugar babies. Now, nowadays, I'd have to admit that my favorites are more along the lines of Kit Kats. I still like a good peanut butter cup. And I like Junior Mints, too.
I'm with you on the Reese's. I'm with you on the Reese's. That might be my all-time
and
favorite.
And the bite-size Three Musketeer bars. Three Musketeers.
That's not bad. I think one of the underrated candy bars of all time, believe it or not, is Whatchamacallit.
Ooh, that is a good one.
Very underrated candy bar.
Yeah, Whatchamacallit.
Sugar Babies, though, you have to dig into your mouth to get the caramel and stuff off every time. It bothers. Maybe the Sugar Daddy, like lollipops, whatever they were, whatever those things were. Remember Sugar Daddy?
Sugar Daddies, yeah. It was basically a sugar baby on a stick.
Yeah. I mean, it's horrible to try to eat that.
Well, that was hard to eat because...
It's like a Charleston Chew. Remember Charleston Chew?
Charleston Chew is a
first of all, the chocolate would crumble all over the place over you, melt all over you.
And the taffy is the hardest.
The taffy's hard. Your fillings come out of your teeth.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I'm offended by the whole process.
No, you're not. What's coming up on the show?
Oh, lots of stuff. Lots of stuff. We're going to have Jeremy Fowler for the Minnesota Pioneer Press will join us in the around 4:30. We'll talk about what's going on in the Vikings. And geez, it's like a mini it's a soap opera going on over there with Favre and Childress and his stupid remarks today or yesterday. And you know, Favre and Childress and Favre and Sturgis and Favre.
We played the Childress piece just a second ago on him, you know, talking about how the Patriots stole their sons.
He's an idiot.
But he did say, we played the entire cut. He did say, oh, yeah, we do that too. So like the whole Spygate thing happened a couple of years ago, Pete. The whole problem here is that everybody does it.
Of course. But he's kind of trying to take a jab. He's trying to take a jab. I really don't understand why, because it's backfired on so many other coaches. I think he's foolish for bringing it up, but you know, what do I know? Yeah. So, I mean, he's still pissed when they lost 31-7 and when the Patriots apparently couldn't score any, in 2006. So.
True.
That got him out of the slump a little bit.
That's true.
That win. So he's ticked off because of that.
I agree with you. All right, Pete Shepard Show coming up in 5 minutes.
Maybe a surprise guest.
Surprise guest.
I have one more question potentially for you. Once again.
Shoot.
Well, it's two things.
Okay, go.
Number one is, friend asked me about, honest to God, asked me about the Longhorns. He goes, what do you think about the Longhorns this week? I said, you know what? I said, my buddy John Rook, I said, they just came off a wicked upset against Nebraska. I said, you know what?
And then got floored by Iowa State.
You would think they're going to be
a team. Was this before the Iowa State game?
Right before the Iowa State game. I said, you know what? All I know is they've beaten this team by an average of about 3 touchdowns the last 5 years. I said, they just seem to have this team's number. I said, you know, this is one of those games I just don't think Texas can get it. You know, they're on a roll. They beat Nebraska. And then they come out and look like dog caca for, you know, it was just horrible. What is wrong with them? What is wrong with that team?
Actually, as I've been reading. Thank you. I've been reading, you know, the Austin papers and all the fan sites and everything. And I think the general gist of it is that these guys came into the season without the edge. They came into the season based on what they did last year and thought that they could just mail it in.
Yeah.
And they just don't have the mental attitude, and they don't have the leadership that they thought they would have, and they're not getting the performance from Garrett Gilbert at quarterback, or they're not getting any performance at all from any running back. And the receivers drop passes left and right. They missed Jordan Shipley horribly.
They look like a version of the Chargers on Sunday in some ways. Not quite as bad. Not quite as bad, but they just
managed to shoot themselves in the foot. That's a very good point by you. I would tell you that there are fans everywhere, though, that follow them and say that, you know what, it's time for, you know, different plays to be called. And a lot of people are upset with the offensive coordinator, Greg Davis,
that
he does not adapt to the talent they have.
Possibly. You know, you follow them a lot closer than I do, but I've seen them on TV. And that game was on, I watched some of that game on TV. It was on one of those
Fox Network.
So yeah. I watched a lot of that game so I could come and have a discussion with you about it. I was actually going to text during the game. Why are you watching this?
First time in now 30 years, maybe first time ever, honest to goodness, that I'm worried about the Baylor game.
Baylor's good.
Never worried about playing Baylor.
I know. That Baylor's a tough team.
They're ranked this week. They're unranked.
They should be. They score a lot of points.
6-2.
They should be.
Oh, my God. The world is on its ear.
Now, if that ever happens, I expect you to call in. Is that next week's game against Baylor?
Yeah.
Oh, so you won't be here on Monday if they lose. Or Tuesday.
No, I'm just not going to mention it.
So I enjoy these little Longhorn segments we have at 5 minutes of 4 on Tuesdays.
I'll just, next topic. That's what I'll say. Next topic.
I don't feel well.
Really. You know, the funny thing about it is Texas could win every game left on their schedule or they could lose every one.
Well,
that's not a very comfortable feeling.
I don't think they're going to win every game on
the schedule. It's not a. Oh yeah, they can.
They absolutely can. I don't think they will either.
Yeah. I don't think they will either. It's just a question of where it's going to come from. You know.
Oh boy.
Thanks for that, Pete.
Maybe we'll play Boston College somewhere in the I Don't Care Bowl.
Well, you got to win 6 games.
Bowl 6-6.
You got to get 6 games, 6 wins to get the
Syracuse
I Don't Care Bowl.
Syracuse is going to the I Don't Care Bowl.
Well, no, Syracuse. You know what? Hey, Syracuse is real good.
How about
West
this?
Virginia. I like Syracuse.
How about the
Saturday.
Very first bowl game this year? And my son Austin told me he laughed at this one. He said, "Dad," he said, "if it happens, it turns out, can we go?" And I said, "Go where?" And he goes, "To the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium." Because they've got a brand new bowl game at Yankee Stadium. And it puts a Big East team against a Big 12 team.
That's right.
It could be Texas Syracuse.
Oh, my goodness.
Very funny, you guys.
Could be. I'll be there.
That'd be a rough short. Of course you'll be there.
I'd be there.
I'll go with you.
Okay. We'd have to put something on that, wouldn't we?
Sure. Okay. We could do that.
Okay.
I like Syracuse.
Do I get to pick before you?
What the bet is? We'll see how it shakes out. We'll put something together.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Let me squeeze in a couple more emails here.
Could
before
be
we
a
hand
nice PA announcement for me at the January 2nd game.
Okay. All right. We can work on that too.
Then I'll get fired.
What? You know, Jason Dvorkin is God or something? Is that okay? One of those?
No, paging John Rook for some kind of you know. Flat tire emergency of the car.
Oh, sorry.
Car's being towed.
Well, sorry. Gotta go. Stadium. Today, I have to say that Syracuse beat Texas in the Pinstripe Bowl. And your New England Patriots take on.
Yeah.
Well, that would totally suck, but that'd be all right. That'd be okay. It's funny because everybody in the press box now after a Texas game on a Sunday when we have, you know, Patriots games, I get people either coming and congratulating me like I played, or I get people coming and giving me condolences like somebody died.
Well, you are the representative of the Longhorns in this area. There's no question about it. Who else follows the Longhorns like you?
Well,
nobody.
Nobody. No, I know. Yeah. Well, but that's okay. Hey, cut me. I bleed orange. What do you want me to tell you?
So does he. In the other room, he bleeds orange. A different kind of orange, though.
Yes.
Syracuse orange.
Not the orange. Just orange.
Yeah.
But this is the orange.
Oh, the orange.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. You know how the burnt orange, you know what the story is behind the burnt orange of Texas? You know? You know what the story is?
No, I don't.
Because burnt orange is actually closer to the color of the pigskin, and so Daryl Royal when he was coach there, wanted the football like camouflaged up against the jersey. So he darkened the color of the orange.
So he cheated.
No, he didn't cheat. He just, you know, kind of.
A little play action.
A little play action.
Chicanery.
Disappearance. That's exactly right. So that's how burnt orange. And burnt orange, by the way, is a color. If you go to your Crayola box of 64, burnt, not burned, burnt, B-U-R-N-T, burnt orange is a color.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
That was really interesting. Not.
Fine. Let me read this email and then Pete gets to have it. God, where the hell? Oh, Jeff. Okay. I feel there was one underrated play during the game that was a game-changing moment. Late in the first quarter, G-Force caught a short pass, dragged a player to obtain a first down. Rob turned a possible fourth down into a first down due to his extra effort. That play, of course, led to Rob's touchdown catch instead of a possible field goal attempt. Play was a game-changer, especially since the Patriots won by only 3 points. All right. Any road win is huge. However, I felt our defense was a little slow Sunday. The Pats defense will need to be faster and quicker to react if they're going to slow down the Vikings receivers. Could not agree more. I do feel this is a special team. I look forward to the rest of the season. This comes from Sea Dog. All right, Jeff the Sea Dog. All right, thank you. Tomorrow on the program, again, Paul Allen, voice of the Minnesota Vikings, scheduled to join us in the opening hour. And then we have, God, he told me, and I forgot. We have AFC East blogger from AOL Fan House, who's been on our show before, and I'll throw myself under the bus tomorrow before we talk to him. Same patch time, same patch channel. Stick around. Pete Shepard Show's next.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Bill Sims from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.